my Savior. Lord, there is none like you. All of mine, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, I shout for joy. Praise the Lord. The psalmist says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, my feet may fail. find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, yes, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, 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 you are mine, yes. May bow in deepest waters, your sovereign feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You never fail, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name, yes, Lord, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. And I will call upon your name, yes, Lord, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my sick spirit. Lead me. My trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you take me, deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior, and I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine, for I am yours, oh Lord, I am yours, and you are mine. Sister Sharice, can I have the lyrics for I'll Say Yes? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll just say yes. You lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say. This life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, my life is yours, yes, Lord. Say yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'll just say yes. You lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say. This life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Yes, Lord. Yes. My life is yours. When I say yes, I might not see it now, but you say the best for all who and there is peace when I say yes. I might not see it now, but you say the best for all who trust you and obey. There is an answer. I'll just say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Yeah.
might not see it now, but you say the best for all who trust you and obey. There is an answer. No more, no more delay, and there is peace when I say yes. I might not see it now, but you say the best for all who trust you and obey. There is an answer, no more delay. I'll just say yes. Sing it one more time. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. My life, it is yours. Yeah. And there is peace when I I might not see it now, but you say the best for all who trust you and obey. There is an answer, no more delay.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may have your seats. We have a few specials this morning. Sister Sarah, will you come?
Grace that you show. stone. My heart's overwhelmed with affection for you. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art! How great thou art, oh, 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 Lord, I am amazed how you prove your love for me and just how far you will go. Sent your only son to give his life for me. Who am I that you love me so? And what could I give to repay the grace that you've shown? My heart's overwhelmed with affection for you. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sees my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art! How great thou art! You are a great, you are a great and mighty God. You are a great, you are a great and mighty God. You are great, you are a great and mighty God. You are a great, you are a great and mighty God. Can you say you are great? You are great. You are a great and mighty God. You are great. You are great and mighty God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sees my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art! great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Hallelujah. He's great and greatly to be praised. Precious Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, Sister Sarah. Praise the Lord. Sister Charisse, will you come? Amen.
Trials, I'll never rest if I don't chase your heart. Sometimes the path it may take me through the fire, but if it's your desire, lead me straight into the storm. Let the thunder be my comfort, let the lightning be my guide. Let the waves that rise around me hold me gently through the night. For the winds that seem against me push me right into your arms. Teach me how to sleep in the storm. How to sleep in the storm. Grow if I never get rained on. I'm finished fighting, trying to hold back the flood. You bring me to life when who I am has been buried. So raise me up and carry me straight into the storm. Let the thunder be my comfort, let the lightning be my guide. Let the waves that rise around me hold me gently through the night. For the winds that seem against me push me right into your arms. Teach me how to sleep in the storm. How to sleep in the storm. My soul, oh Lord, your peace washes over me. You won't let go. It is well with my soul. Let the thunder be my comfort, let the lightning be my guide. Let the waves that rise around me hold me gently through the night. Let the thunder be my comfort, let the lightning be my guide. Let the waves that rise around me hold me gently through the night. For the winds that seem against me push me right into your arms. Teach me how to sleep in the storm. How to sleep in the storm. Help me sleep
Praise the Lord. He'll do it. Amen. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. I believe that with all my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. As the song says, when all hell assails me, stand by me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a few visitors this morning. Amen. Sister Margaret Haslam, God bless you. It's good to have you. Praise the Lord in the house of the Lord. Amen. And also Sister Cassandra Boas, God bless you. It's good to have you here. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have one written request from Sister Brown here. It says, please pray for Candace Willingham from South Carolina. She's 34 years old and has been diagnosed with congestive heart failure. Her heart is only working at 25% right now. The doctors want to put a defibrillator in, but they say she can go at any time. Her son is also having major medical issues as well, and he is only 12 years old, and she has five children. Her husband and family members are praying and believing God for a miracle. Amen. So we want to pray and believe God with them. Amen. We want to continue to pray for the Rudolph family. I ask that you pray for my family, and I'll be praying for yours. Amen. We'd like to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithe and offering and ask the blessings upon it. And we'll also pray for these. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord, knowing that you are God, our Heavenly Father, that watches over us, Lord. Father, you have brought us through so much, Lord God. No doubt you'll bring us through even the greatest trials that we will face. Father, we pray for Sister Willingham, Lord, and we know at the darkest hour, that's when Jesus comes along. Father, we ask that you minister to our need, Lord. You have it written in your word, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, Lord. So she has heart trouble just now, and her heart isn't supposed to be troubled. We ask that the Holy Ghost move upon the scene just now to strengthen our sister. Lord, the family is believing for a miracle, and you are the miracle worker, Lord. We believe you, Father. We just ask that you touch her, Lord. You have already healed her, Lord, and we're believing your word upon our sister and also upon her son, Lord God. He needs a touch in his body, Lord God. You are the healer, Lord, oh Lord. It's done already, Lord, and we believe you, Father. We just ask, oh God, that you strengthen the family. Strengthen your believing children, Father God. Strengthen us here. Remember Sister Linda and the family. Lord, strengthen them, Lord. Bless them indeed, Lord. And may the Holy Ghost continue to move in their lives, Lord, to save. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord God, that you help my family, my brothers and sisters' family, whatever they're going through, Lord. Meet each and every need, Father. And Father, as we come before you, Lord, to bring, Lord, the tithe and offering to the house of the Lord, we ask your blessings upon it. Bless your children, all that can give and all that have not to give, Lord. Bless, Lord, them for the desire in their hearts, Lord. We'll continue to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word to heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Let's sing it one more time. I am the God that healeth thee.
My Savior's love is through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Yes, He is. He's Christ alone. He's my cornerstone. The weak are made strong, and my Savior's love is through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Yes, He is. He's Christ, Christ alone. My Savior's love is through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Yes, He is. He's Christ, Christ alone. My cornerstone. The weak are made strong, and my Savior's love is through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, and faultless stand before the throne, and faultless stand before the throne, Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak are made strong in the Savior's love is through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
Praise the Lord. Amen. He's all we need. He's all we need. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tomorrow we would like to wish happy birthday to Sister Samaya. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And on Friday it'll be Sister Jennifer Samuel's birthday. God bless you, sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. On Tuesday at 7:30 we have Brother's Prayer Meeting. Amen. Also, Brother Diggs will be here Friday night, May 26th at 7:30. Amen. God bless you. Will you stand to your feet? Amen. We're going to ask Brother Jack to come at this time. We'll sing this little song. I still have a praise inside of me. No matter what you're going through, you must keep your praise.
I've been through the fire. I've been through the flood. Been broken in pieces and left all alone. But oh, through it all, God blessed me. And through it all, God kept me. And I still have a praise inside of me. Yes, yes, I still have a praise inside of me. Well, although I've been wounded, and yes, I've been scarred, I never gave up, no. I trusted in God. But well, through it all, God blessed me. And through it all, God kept me. Yes, I still have a praise inside of me. Yes, yes, I still have a praise inside of me.
Though I've been wounded, though I've been wounded, yes, I've been scarred, I never gave up, oh, I trusted in God, and through it all, yeah, yeah, through it all, oh, and I still, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I still. Oh, hallelujah. That's the praise on the inside. Yes, it is. I say, hallelujah. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what the trials are like, I still say hallelujah. That's the praise that the devil can't take away. It's way down in my soul. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Yes, I still. Whoa, I still got my praise. Yes, I still. Oh, still got my praise. Yes, I still have a praise inside of me. Somebody worship him this morning. Somebody thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, turn around and tell somebody, I still got my praise. I still got my praise. I still got my praise. Seated, amen, in God's presence, amen. So good to be here this morning. Our God is a good God, amen. Sometimes that word not good enough, so we use the word awesome. Nobody like our God. Amen. And you know, and it's good to keep your praise no matter what you're going through. If the devil can take your praise, he can take your joy. And you know, joy is something that's different from happiness. Happiness means something has to happen to you, and that means something good has to happen to you for you to be happy. But joy is something that's there no matter what's happening. You can still put a smile on your face in the midst of it, because you know God is still God. Amen. In the midst of it, no matter what it is, no matter what it is. I want to thank the Lord for all the specials that went forth. Amen. That we heard. God bless you, Sister Sarah. Sister Charisse and Brother Solomon, amen. Last week, Sister Tanya, they call your name. They had you on the list. They call your name. Brother Wisdom went and sat down. He had everything under control and said, "Brother, you ain't called nobody yet. I'm going to call him. Sister Tanya." I said, "Sister Tanya ain't here." But we can't wait no 6 weeks for Sister Tanya. So y'all try to get her right back on the list. Amen. Maybe next week, let's get Sister Tanya right back in the list. But I tell you, we just thank the Lord for all things. Amen. I did also want to thank the Lord for last time I failed to do this, and I want to make sure I did it this time. But Sister Lois, it's so good to have you. Amen. In the house of the Lord. Amen. It's so good to have you. The Lord has been touching her body. Amen. You all know that she was in a tremendous accident there with a bus, but God protected her and watched over her, and just been bringing her through, you know, just the recovery process. And it's always a blessing to see her walk through the doors, because it could have been another way. Amen. But we thank God. And last time she came to service, I do apologize. I didn't make mention, but it's always good to see God bless his people and allow them to be able to come back into the house of the Lord.
Amen. I did want to say also, we had a wonderful time with the youth on last night. It was a real pleasant blessing, and something that I was telling the young people last night that I'm looking to do, amen, a little bit more this year. It was just brought to my attention that we need to do this a little bit more. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out ways to, you know, we got so much on our schedule. And you know, just praying through it, and the Lord just kind of began to show just little things that we could do here and there. But it's just an opportunity. What my vision is, that we will be doing another one in July and then another one in September. We'll give you the dates and everything on that. I think it's going to be the third weekend of July and also the third weekend in September, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll be doing a special youth fellowship type events, and our hope and our goal is not only to just get our youth, but even some of the youth that used to attend this church. I still got them on the list, right? When I'm going in, putting all y'all information in the database, and while I'm there, I ain't got everybody card back. Everybody's supposed to give me a card back on your updated information, so we can update the database. So if I don't get your card back soon, I'm going to be coming to see you. I'm coming. I need your information, right? Something happened to you, I don't even know how to get to you. I'm your shepherd. Hello, somebody. Pastor, I don't even know your address. I ain't going to bother you. I'm not coming to bother. I just, you know, if something happened, I want to be able to get to you. Is that all right? I know some churches you go to, your pastor don't care. Y'all leave me alone. I ain't trying to go there. These big old churches, pastors don't even know the people. Don't even know the people. But we want to be a good shepherd. A good shepherd. So we're gonna have to get you information. But if you haven't filled out your connection card, make sure you do that. Don't leave the day without doing that. Get it back to my wife. I've been entering all the information to the database, and it's been real good. Now I done lost my thought. I'm trying to get it back. Okay. So my objective is, even, you know, some of the young people that I might not see them here every Sunday, but I still call them active members in this church. I say that by faith. I call you an active member. You can't go nowhere else. You done tried. You know where home is, right? So we call them active members. And what we're looking to do, sometimes you can't get people to come to church, but you can get them to fellowship. And if we create a right environment and a fellowship, the next thing you know, you'll be winning them right back to church. You got to get them in familiar surroundings. And you can have good Holy Ghost clean fun. You can do that. And you know, when we're doing this, parents, we want you to know we're including, you know, even the little ones. We want them growing up in these environments, right? We want them. We'll have things for them to do. But we got something, you know, that we want to do. We got two more times this year that I know that are planned. We also mentioned to the young people there will be opportunity. We're looking at doing possibly a banquet for the young people. And then also we have, you know, a little something that we heard about when we were in Africa a couple of years ago. We were in Ghana, and they had some young people do like a debate. And they took a little subject and they debated, you know, the subject, but they had to use scriptures and quotes, and they got points based on what they used to support their position. So, something that we want to just kind of bring up, we don't want to get too out of control. Praise the Lord. But something, then just kind of just make it a little fun for the young people here and there. And we'll be bringing that, you know, bringing more of that to you in the future. But I want you to put it on your calendar. And I want you to, when we have these things, invite your loved ones, amen, to come and be a part of these things. Amen. Even if they, you know, like, well, you know, they ain't been to church a long time. Still let them come. Get them on out here. Get them on out here. We want them to be a part of these events. Amen. So we'll keep you posted. I saw Caprice, it's so good to see you, Caprice. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to miss that. Caprice is one of them that if she walked up to me, she said, "Jackie, then everybody understand, you know, that we go way back, right? New people don't call me that, just but that's one of those old time friends, sister Brown's daughter, and we just appreciate her just growing up together, amen, with her. But I tell you what, we're gonna prepare, and I noticed that we had a couple other visitors, and the name, I know the face real good. That's Cassandra. Yeah. So after the service, the homegoing service, she came up to me and she said, "Pastor, you really blessed my soul." That sermon really blessed her soul. And she come to church today, and we're so happy to have her, amen, here in fellowship with us. And she did not come alone. Amen. We thank God for, you know, her bringing, amen, her friend with her as well. We just appreciate all that the Lord is doing. Sister Margaret, God bless you. So good to have you all. Amen. So, you know, before I just go into, amen, this thought that we have for today, I heard this a little earlier. Amen. I said, man, I got to go back to that one, because that just ministers to me. Amen. That ministers to me. So I just wanted to just sing a little bit of it, and I'm not gonna make you stand or nothing like that. You just enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. And whatever you want to do, that's what you do. But let's just sing just a little bit. Just a little bit. Amen.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Yes, it does. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Glory to his name.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Yes. My hallelujah belongs.
That's the way I feel this morning. I want to sing it again.
I said, my hallelujah belongs. No matter what I'm going through, Jesus, my hallelujah.
Glory to God. Come on, sing it one more time. Say,
my hallelujah belongs to you.
Hey.
Oh, my hallelujah.
Come on, you deserve it.
Say, you deserve it.
Thank you, Jesus.
You
deserve it.
Deserve it.
You deserve it. All of the glory. All the glory. Hallelujah. All the glory belongs to you. All of the glory belongs to you.
Hey,
all of the glory. Come on, lift your voice to heaven. You deserve it. Say,
you deserve it.
God, you deserve it.
You deserve.
You deserve it.
Oh, you deserve it.
My hallelujah.
My hallelujah.
Come on, lift your hands and say, all of the glory. Say,
all of the glory.
God, we give you all the praise. Yes, we do. All the glory.
Hey.
Come on, one more time. You deserve it. Say,
you need. Hallelujah. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Come on, sing it again. You deserve it. You need. God, you deserve it. You deserve it. Oh, you deserve it. My hallelujah. My hallelujah. Come on, one more time. My hallelujah. Say, belongs to you. Oh God, my hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, somebody worship him in this place. God, my hallelujah belongs to you. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for who you are to us. And no matter what it is that we're going through, we've learned as Christians to still bring our praise. The Bible tells us that you inhabit the praises of your people. So when we find ourselves in dire straits, if we could just find a way just to give you glory, to give you honor, to give you praise, then that's where we'll find our God dwelling. I pray, Father, that you would just give us strength. And you know each person, you know the conditions of every heart, you know, God, exactly what your people stand in need of here today. Hide us behind the cross that we might not be seen, but may Christ be on display. We trust, oh God, that you would get all the glory, and that you would get all the honor, and that you would get all the praise from the word that you've placed in my heart. And I pray, oh God, that you would give us hearts that are ready to receive what the word has to say. Come by here, our Lord. Come by here. Oh Lord, come by here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Thank you, musicians. Certainly appreciate you all. Amen. And if you all would get your Bibles and stand with me, we'll read a portion of scripture out of the book of John, chapter 3. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 3, and starting here at verse 1. John 3, starting at verse 1, says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. Here today. And we want to take our subject, amen, our title from the words of Jesus. Ye must be born again. Amen. Ye must be born again. This topic had come upon my heart some time ago, and I had I preached this. Man, this probably was my first sermon that I preached when I was invited outside to go preach. I went to a church there in Riviera Beach, and my cousin was pastor, and he invited me to come preach, and I went in, and I said, I took this topic in, you must be born again, and we had a wonderful time. But, you know, after I preached the sermon, I went home, and as I was home, I just felt all this weight, you know, on my shoulders, and I just could not understand what was really transpiring. I don't know if I said something wrong, if I did something wrong. I had no idea what it was, so I called my cousin back. I said, you know, I want to apologize. If I said something in the pulpit that was wrong this morning, then please forgive me, because I'm just not feeling, you know, something just don't feel right. I don't know what it is. And he say, "Oh, you're just a young preacher. You ain't got to apologize for nothing that the Bible say." You know, it's if the Bible said, then we all say amen to it. You ain't got to apologize for nothing in the scripture. And I tell you what, when he told me that, I ain't apologizing to nobody about nothing in the Bible. Because I ain't put it there. Amen. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. And he said, ye must, amen, be born again. And that applies to everybody in here, right? From the pulpit to the back door, we all got this requirement that we must be born again. And I just want to just try to deal with that. But, you know, I found out later on what that weight was. It was the weight of the people, amen, that the Lord had allowed us to kind of feel that we'd be carrying the weight and the burdens of the people, you know. So we thank God for that. He just kind of brought us through that for a little bit. But I want to talk about this on today. The prophet preached on this sermon, you must be born again. But at the beginning of the sermon, he did something, and he told the people, say, go home and read Ephesians. Go home and read Ephesians chapter 4. And a few verses there. So, you know, we're going to read that this morning as we get started. Just turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. And remember, our topic is ye must be born again. Must be. There is no way around it. Amen. This is a requirement from God that each one has to, amen, meet. And the other thing about this requirement, many churches you go to and you hear them preach this sermon, and everybody got their own definitions as to how they feel this applies, or what they think it means. You know, what does it really mean to be born again? Right. And we want to try to give it from a scriptural standpoint what this really means. Amen. To be born again, because this is something that everybody got to come to. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, the other thing I want you to understand about this statement, this is Jesus' first doctrine. Right. This is his first doctrine. When you read the book of John, and, you know, and John just kind of laying out what happened in the beginning there in John 1, and then John 2, Jesus turning the water into wine and beat some people out the temple and things like that. But when he opened up his mouth and began to preach, the first thing come out is ye must be born again. That his first doctrine. Right. And so if Jesus is going to say something like that, we better take heed to what Jesus is trying to tell us. Ye must. No ifs, ands, buts, no shortcuts. It's absolutely impossible for you to go to heaven if you're not born again. Oh my God. Amen. We got to get this thing right. I'm coming here to Ephesians 4. But the Lord was sharing with me, it's people going to church every day and they dying and going to hell going to church. Right? In the church, they're dying and going to hell. The reason is because they have not come to this place where they've been born again. The reason you see all kind of faults and things like that in their life, because that person has not come to a complete death. Oh yeah, they religious. We got that. People know how to do the part, but we're not talking about being religious. We talk about being born again. Amen. Come on, it's gonna take a new birth. Yes, hallelujah. God ain't happy just with people just going to church. God want a birth. Amen. It's got to be a new nature that comes alive inside of people. We talk about being born again. Let's read this. Ephesians 4, he picked this up and he start reading at verse 11. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Amen. This is what God did. He gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors. He gave teachers. Now when God, let me just put it this way. There's a lot of people that, amen, went, but not everybody was sent. So it's a lot of folk you hear on the radio preaching, but God ain't called them people to preach. Amen. Hallelujah. We might as well just be out. It's a lot of just got up and went, but God did not send them people. But when he gave you an apostle, oh my God. Amen. Not somebody making themselves an apostle. Right? Not somebody making themselves a pastor, a teacher, or an event. No, you can't make yourself this. God got to send you. God got to anoint you to be this. And when he anoints you to be that, he has a purpose for doing it. And that purpose is found in verse 12. Listen, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 goes on also to say, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So our going to church is not going to be good enough. God is trying to bring us to a place of perfection in him. And the ministry is supposed to help you get there. I'm going on. Verse 14. This also is supposed to, when he gives you a pastor, he gives you a prophet, he gives you an evangelist, he gives you, a teacher, he gives you that, say that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Hallelujah. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hallelujah. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him and all things which is the head, even Christ. Now, the prophet just used this scripture and said, now go home and look at it. But he kept making a few points there. When I went back and listened to the sermon, you must be born again. He said, now notice Paul says that we have to grow up into him. Because what happened that people come to the Lord and they think they grown as soon as they come. Oh my God. Amen. Amen. But you got to grow up. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When children are born, they're born babies, not born men. Let me say it again. When children are naturally born, they are born babies and not men. So when we're born as babies, I was, just reading this thing here recently, and there was a man was talking about, he had a little niece and he had her in his arms. And she was just gaga and goo-gooing and just smiling. And he looked at her and said, oh, man, she's so sweet. Daddy, look at how sweet this girl is. And so I just really love my little niece here. Well, after he said all that, he had glasses on. And the girl grabbed a hold of his glasses, snatched them off. And when she got them off, before he could grab them, she done dropped them on the ground. And they done broke, right? And after he done said, oh, yeah, she was so sweet. She was so this and she was so that. Now he want to spank her. But his daddy told him, you don't need to spank her for that. Because she didn't know no better. Oh, hallelujah. When you're a babe and you don't know no better, you might not get no spankings. But when you know better, when you know better, then we expect better. Oh, y'all leave me.
They don't hit her because she don't know no better. Praise the Lord. So some of y'all this morning, we're talking to some babies, but some of y'all are grown folk. Some of y'all teenagers in the gospel. And this word going to hit you in different places, but it need to hit you right where you at. Amen. And no matter where you at on the journey, you still got to be born again. A baby got to be born again. A teenager got to be born again. An adult got to be born again. Everybody got to be born again. All right, now stay with me. So, you know, he was saying that people come to the church and they go through an experience where they go to the altar and they accept Christ, or maybe they lift their hands and they accept Christ. And that's good. That's the beginning. That's not the end. Just because you lift your hands to accept Christ, that means God put something in your heart where you can respond to the word. But after you've responded to the word, now there's some growing up to do. Hello, somebody. If I got a little baby, amen, and I don't mind toting them as a toddler. But eventually they start putting on weight. Amen. And them legs get big enough where they can walk on their own. And you got to watch a baby. Because if you don't train that baby right, that baby will always be trying to be in your arms. You got to break them out of that. Right? I mean, here they are. They 2, they 3, they 4. You heavy. I can't carry you like that no more. You're going to have to walk on your own. And even in the church, you get heavy. We can't carry you like that. You're going to have to carry yourself. That baby got to learn how to feed itself. Mom ain't going to stand there feeding up. Not just feed itself. Eventually you get old enough where you can cook for yourself. You ain't just getting a meal when you're coming on Sunday morning. Huh? But you're going to go home and feed yourself. You're going to read your own Bible. You're going to do your own Bible study. Listen to your own tapes. Not just waiting for the first Friday. Hallelujah. You got to be born again. You got to grow up. Man, you see a child ain't grown up yet? I mean, wait a minute here. Now, I mean, here you want me to carry you? You want me? No, you too heavy. I can't carry you. I'm going to put you down. You're going to have to use them 2 feet that God gave you. It's one thing if you couldn't use them. Then we'll carry you all day. But if you're a nice and healthy child, we want you to develop the way you're supposed to develop. Amen. Right? And that's in every aspect of life. Whether it's walking, whether it's talking, whether it's, eating, whatever it is, you want to see that child develop in every aspect of their life. Same thing applies spiritually. It's not just when you say, Lord, I accept into my heart. That's the beginning. But now it's time to grow up. And as you grow up, guess what? Some things fall off you. Amen. There are things that's going to fall off you because you're growing up. Hallelujah. And we got rebellious kids. Everybody done went through. You've been a rebellious kid. Right? I mean, you got things you go through where you begin to rebel against the word of God. But no matter, a parent that's dealing with a rebellious child, that parent ain't going to be worried too much. That parent going to establish a law, and it's going to either be this way or no way. And when you come, if you want to leave the house, leave the house. I don't care. But when you come back, guess what? The laws ain't changed. It's the same thing with God. You want to rebel against God and do something different? When you come back, the word of God is still the word of God. Hello, somebody. Amen. You got to be born again. You got to be. Here we see this with Nicodemus. Here he comes to the Lord Jesus, at night. He don't want nobody to know that he's coming, so he sneaks in there. But the good thing about it, he got there. Right? Whether he had to sneak to get there or whatever it took, but Nicodemus got into the presence of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus was the only person that could give him light in the midst of his darkness. Amen. And, here, Jesus tells him, saying, now, you you got to be born again. And I just love the way these words are put here in the scripture. In verse 3, he said, let me just work with it just a little bit here from the scripture. Verse 2, it says, John 3, it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, I think Jesus appreciates these words that Nicodemus is saying. Amen. And oftentimes, even me as a minister, you know, people would come and say, Pastor, I really enjoyed that. And Pastor, I really thank God for you. And Pastor, you know, and all that's great. But you know what? Amen. I can't be moved by flattery. Jesus could not be moved by flattery. Right? I mean, it's nothing wrong with saying a good compliment to somebody. People enjoy hearing good compliments. But if you're using that compliment to try to butter up. If you're using that compliment to try to, you know, just try. Maybe I'm going to say this because if I say it this way to them, then maybe they'll let me get by with this. No. The gospel is still the gospel. The gospel is the gospel in my house, your house, everybody's house. The gospel is still the gospel. I need the gospel. My wife needs the gospel. My children need the gospel. My mama, my brother, my sisters, all of us need the gospel. Amen. Ain't no buttering up when it comes to, I mean, can you, Jesus, here this great leader, Nicodemus been a great leader. He come. We know you're a teacher. Now he's telling them what they're talking about. We know that you're a teacher that come from God. Nobody could do miracles like you. Jesus said, no, that don't mean nothing to me, what you just said at night. Look at what he tell him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, which means absolutely, absolutely. Right? He says, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this man was religious. But what I want you to understand, God is not calling for religion. He wants relationship. Not religion, relationship. Right. And we gotta be willing to give him that. And like I just said earlier, you know, church, y'all be careful. You know, you got to give people, if you see them just coming to church, give them a chance to grow. Amen. You got to let people grow. They supposed to grow up and you're supposed to be able to watch that just sprout forward. Yes. Amen. It ain't going to happen overnight. Yes. I've had I was telling a couple people this and I was telling them, say, now, when you grow, it's a way to grow. Amen. When you grow like an oak tree, but not like a mushroom. Because both of them grow. An oak tree grows and a mushroom grows. Both of them will grow. The same rain will make both of them grow. But the problem with the mushroom, it come up overnight and it's kicked down just like that. It ain't got no real roots. I mean, a lawnmower go over the top of that mushroom is done. But you try to take your lawnmower up against a big old oak tree, your lawnmower be done. We want Christians to be like oak trees, rooted and grounded and planted in God. But you got to give people time to grow. Not no 1 week, 2 week, no. Give them time to grow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when they're really in the presence of God, they can grow. You know, I mean, their growth don't take 40 years. It can be a little faster. I know some of y'all already thinking, well, Brother Jack, what about in Moses' day when they put the branch inside the presence of the Lord and overnight it blossomed? That was a miracle just to prove who God was with. But that ain't the way he want Christians growing overnight. Hallelujah. All right, you got to be born again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, and he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it's impossible for you to see the kingdom of God, amen, if you haven't been born again. Now, let me go on a little further with this. So Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born? Now, he's trying to figure this out. You know, what you mean, Jesus, by being born again? How is this, right? I mean, you stand being born again that a man can't even go to heaven without being born again. That's a very hard statement. That's a very hard. I mean, but it's the truth. It's what Jesus said. You have to be born again. Y'all just work with me here. Work with me. See, so Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Because and what Brother Branham said, Nicodemus come maybe about 80 years old to Jesus. Now, can you imagine this man, 80 years old, and Jesus tells him, said, you got to be born again? Now, wait a minute. I have never heard of anybody talking anything like this. Born again. How does this work? Here Jesus tells him, you got to be born again. So nobody can even enter, can't even see the kingdom of God, can't even see it unless you're born again. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's trying to figure it out. Jesus goes on to explain a little bit more. Verse 5 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So to be born of the water and of the spirit. Now, when we talk about being born of the water, it's talking about your natural birth. Right. And this is the way, I mean, you're coming out of the womb and you're born one way. Now, the other thing you need to understand about your natural birth, there are certain characteristics that go with your natural birth. There's certain genes that come. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't help but you might try your best not to look like a certain parent. You might get upset when people tell you that you look like a certain parent. But because that gene is there, it's going to dominate your life. And you cannot separate yourself from that parent. Amen. There's blood that attaches you two together. I don't care how much you want to disassociate yourself. There's something there that can keep you connected. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to kind of work with that just a little bit if I can. Oh, God, help me here. You know, because the thing about being born again is that, you know, here you can, the reason Jesus say, now you can be born of the flesh. That's your natural birth. I mean, here he said, born of the water. That's your natural birth. But when you're born of the spirit, now that's a spiritual birth. That's a Holy Ghost birth. That's a changing of your entire nature. Amen. When the spirit comes in, you stop making excuse that my people always been this way. See, just by you being born from a certain lineage or into a certain family, certain time there are certain things, that certain characteristics that just dwell with that family. My God. Some families, everybody drinkers. Everybody smokers. Everybody got these problems. I mean, everybody got that. And you wonder, say, well, where did I get this desire from? It's something that came in you at your birth. Hallelujah. Not only just because of the family you was born in, because you was born in sin, you had that desire to sin. But that's why Jesus would say you got to be born again. It takes the desire away. And that's what you're waiting to see people grow up into. Are you growing up to a place where that desire is dead? You see, if people's nature don't change, what happens that they come to church, they make a confession, and then they go right back out and keep doing the same thing was doing. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Branham talked about the pig and how you put and let's say it's a female pig. And here, you say, I'm going to take this pig out of this pen, and I'm going to dress this pig up, and I'm going to make this pig act like a lamb. And here the pig come out, and you put a nice dress on it, some nice perfume on it, and he said, now you go out there and be like the lambs. As soon as you let the pig go, hallelujah, as soon as you let the pig go, the pig will not go fellowship with the lambs. The pig will go right on back over there to the hog stop with that dress on, with that perfume on. The pig will go right back into that pig pen and just have some fellowship. But if you want the pig to act like a lamb, then the nature on the inside of the pig has to change to lamb nature, then it'll act like a lamb. Look like a pig, but acting like a lamb. Because the nature has changed. And when God comes in and gives you a new spirit, amen, not just a new spirit, but gives you a new heart, and then puts his spirit in that, then we're working with something. Then we work with something. He said, I give you a new heart, I give you a new spirit, then I'm going to put my spirit in there. When that process takes place, then that's when we talk about being born again. If you just make a confession And how many of them just, oh my God, just been baptized in water, but still doing the same old thing that they was doing before they got baptized? It shows that there was no real birth. The Holy Spirit never really came in. Yeah, look, this is not nobody judging you. You judge yourself. Your actions. I mean, you know, I'm an orange tree, but we see apples. You can keep saying you're an orange tree all you want to. We know what we see. You're an apple tree. And ain't nobody going to argue with you. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, you know, there's certain things that kind of come along with this because of your birth. Just, I mean, you're a sinner because you was born one. All of us was born sinners. We read the scriptures this morning. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in here, everybody. And can one person point their finger at another one? Well, you're worse sinner than I am. No, I don't care how bad your sin is. Your sin will take you to hell. Lying will take you to hell, just like murder. Right? So, I mean, it ain't no degrees to sin. We do that here in our society, you know, because we want to put these people in this part of the prison and these people. No. Hell ain't got sections in it. It don't. I'm just being honest with you. If you plan on going. Brother Brandon made a statement, and I love the way he put it. Say, there's not a person in here that wants to go to torment. And I just thought about that. How many in here actually want to go to hell? Just, come on, lift your hand high. You really want to go. Ain't nobody put their hand up. Stop living that way then. Stop living that way and stop acting that way if you really don't want to go. I think the reason we come to church is because we want to get right. And we're tired of playing games at fake churches that ain't telling us how to get right. Huh? We might as well tell the truth, church. Glory to God. It's only the truth going to make people free. Jesus said, ye must be born again. So see, your first birth, right? Your natural birth that you came to this earth with, you know, that brought certain things. It brought the lying. It brought the cheating. It brought the stealing. You know, and here you can, you know, you can grow up so innocent in an environment. But if around you is all this sin, you know what? And many of y'all can attest to this. If you grow up in an environment, everybody drinking, when you get old enough, you're going to be doing the same thing they're doing. Even if you go to church and you backslide, the first thing you do is go back to that old nature that you were born in. Oh, my, hallelujah. You go back to that old nature because that's what your people did. The only thing that separates you from them, the reason that you can go amongst them now and not feel the same way that they feel, because a birth has taken place. But see, as people growing up, you want to see how they respond when they get back amongst their family. Oh, glory to God. Because family members, oh my, most of us got involved with something because a family member introduced it to us. A family member did it. Family members will bring drugs to you. Family members will bring alcohol to you. Family members. And you trust them. And I know nowadays the world is crazy. I'm going to be honest. The world is crazy. People do all kind of crazy stuff with people they ain't even never met one time in their life. They're still doing stuff. That's crazy to me. But for the average person, you ain't just going to meet somebody off the street and they offer you, hey, man, you want a hit from this? I don't know you like that. Well, you ain't going to take it from them, but let a family member, a close friend do it. You'll be right there all over it. And that was the devil anointing them to get to you. But see, when you grow up, you can look that thing in the eyes and say, no, I don't do that no more. And the reason you can say I don't do it no more because I had a new birth. See, the new birth is an experience. I mean, it's a real experience that God does something on the inside of you. And what happens when the birth happens, when it truly happens on the inside, what happened is that you become like a dove. You begin to take on the nature. See, when John saw the Spirit come down like a dove on Christ, that same nature wants to come in you. And when you got true dove nature on the inside of you, a dove don't have to take a bath. A dove don't have to go wash itself. The dove has something on the inside that washes its outside. Hallelujah, somebody. And when you really got Holy Spirit dove nature, it will be an experience on the inside that will reflect itself on the outside. I'm going
on.
Absolutely, absolutely. You got to be born again. Not just reciting a prayer, not a creed. But it's an experience that you got to have with God. And see, the new birth goes beyond your good intentions. You know, some people just got good intentions. They just want to be church members. Can I go a little further than that? Some people even go further than just being church members. They will pay their tithes and offerings to the church. They will support the church. But they won't get right with the word of God. God don't want you to do that. Why come that far? Come that close to truth and don't go all the way with it. Y'all gonna let me preach? All right, I got a couple things I want to just share here. Let me read something out of Hidden Life with Christ. Hidden Life with Christ. Praise the Lord. Says this: the Bible said that He would give us a new heart, and He would give us a new spirit. And many people, even Pentecostal people and full gospel people, has been deceived in that. Many times God said, I'll give you a new spirit. That wasn't His spirit, right? The new spirit wasn't His spirit. That's your spirit, right? So when He said, I'll give you a new heart and I'll give you a new spirit, that's your spirit, right? It says, then I'll put My spirit in you. I'll give you a new spirit, then I will put My spirit in you. And many times you get the new spirit and think you got the Holy Spirit. And trusting upon emotions and signs and things when your life doesn't pivot up to that. Now that's just a little raw, but remember, it's the truth. Many people, the new spirit, God had to give you a new spirit to get along with His spirit. Well, some people so mean in church. Some people so mean they can't even get along with themselves. That's bad. When you don't want to hang with your own self, that's bad. They're so mean they can't even get along with themselves. All right, let me go on. He says, let alone with God if He come in. See, you won't even be able to agree with God. That's right. So doubtful and up and down, God has to give you a new spirit, give you a new nature so you can get along with His spirit when it comes. Amen. I hope you see it. God gives you a new spirit for yourself and then puts His Holy Spirit in there. Amen. To dwell with you and to abide with you. Now, I was just listening to this sermon here on You Must Be Born Again. You know, the prophet just kind of went on to share some things. He started to say how it's the pastor's duty to make sure that the flock is fed right. Right? You know, sometimes as a pastor, you'll see little things. You see this, you see that, and you just kind of, okay, I ain't going to say nothing. Start just praying for the people. But I found out as being a pastor that people will not make change unless you say things from the pulpit. And that's a shame that you just can't read it out of the word for yourself. And say, Lord, I'm going to line up with that. But the pastor got to actually say things from the pulpit to help people get in line. Amen. Right? So, you know, and your life makes me do that. I want you to get that. Your life, what you do with your life makes me come up here and say certain things. I just want to come up here and preach, but sometimes I got to stop and preach messages like this because our life is backsliding. It's backsliding. I mean, going to church every day. Yeah, I know, but still backsliding. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Amen. You might not look like everybody else in the world, but you sure act like them. Uh-huh. Amen, church. I should say we act like them. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. When the last time you went and led somebody to Christ at the water cooler? But when the last time you talked about the football game and the water cooler? Basketball at the water cooler. Huh? But you ain't letting nobody to Jesus. Amen. Y'all think we're going to be in heaven talking about? Yeah, what y'all think we're going to talk about? Three-pointers and touchdowns and all? It ain't going to happen, church. That's not what heaven going to be like. Right? I mean, we're going to have to die to that at some point in time. All right, I'm going on. That's part of my nature. My nature is I like sports. I love it. I played it. I love sports. But I know the devil want to use that against me. Ain't nothing but the truth, church. I'm going to read a scripture for you in a little bit. The devil want to use that against you. Oh, my God. Y'all ever went to just seen in the news different parents that be at games and they beat up the referee? Y'all heard these type of things? Maybe over in South America, a referee calling a soccer game, and he make one. Oh Lord, that man missed that call. They caught the man at a bar. The fans caught him at a bar. You the one that was reffing tonight, beat the man to a pulp, killed him. Fans. That's what you call a fanatic. That you kill people over your team losing. That's where the devil want to take it to. Amen, church. It ain't nothing but the truth. You fight people over your team. I want to tell y'all something that just happened to me recently. I was in the... I had to get my car repaired. Well, not repaired, but a new radio put in. I went to the radio. I went to the repair shop where they're going to do the replacement of the radio. And I'm sitting there, and I was the only one in the waiting room. And they had the TV going, and it was sports thing that they were showing. I was just sitting there, and these guys were just talking about different subjects. But when they talk. They fuss and argue so hard. There's a spirit behind it. And as they was, I was trying to read, just something a little spiritual. I couldn't even read because of these two guys talking on the TV, the way that they was talking. And in my day, it used to be people didn't curse on just regular television. You had to get a special channel to get the cursing. I guess some of y'all ain't been in my day. You had to have a special channel to go to the cursing. Now, just whatever channel is cursing. And now we done classify curse words. Well, that's not really curse. No, that's cursing. And if your hair ain't standing up on your neck when you hear it, you need to be born again. So these guys just going, they're just going. And one of them, his name was Stephen A. Smith. I wanted to say that particularly because I know some of y'all listen to Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith started cursing. And don't y'all act like that in the first time. Y'all know that man cursed when he. What's this other radio personality that people be listening to? Not sports guy, but Tom Joyner. Stern, you name them. Name them all that be on your radio cursing. You just be sitting there just eating it up. Now, you wouldn't let nobody come in your house and talk like that. So you got to watch what you feeding on. And you just got it turned up. But as soon as the pastor calls, you're turning your radio down. You need to be born again. Or somebody get in the car with you. Let me change the radio station. Hello, somebody. We talking real good right now. This is what I mean by being born again. That nature got to die in you. Though sometimes you, if you're not careful, you'll pull right back over into that. You can have a powerful service. After the service, you'll be slipping to go do something. That's that nature in you that got to die. So I'm listening to this man. He just cursing. I said, no, I just can't take it, man. So I went up. I found that wasn't my TV. But since I'm a customer and I'm paying and I'm the only one in here, I found the thing on the volume, turn it all the way down. Man walked back into the shop. He said, did I put that on mute or did you? I said, I did it. You're not even in here. I'm in here. I'm trying to read something here to get something out of the word, but I'm listening, and I just noticed how the way these guys was arguing and fussing, it was a spirit coming. And I said, and you know what? If you're not careful, if you listen to that, you'll come out, all that conversation, you'll go right to your job and start talking about, and you got the same spirit that they got on them. Only thing you ain't done yet is curse. But you got the same, you're fussing, arguing about everything. Some of y'all got more facts about sports than you know about your Bible. That's that nature that got to die, right? And that's, I'm going to get there. I'm going to read a scripture for you on that one. Okay, let me go on. It's my duty as the pastor to make sure you're fed right. Brother Branham say, when a horse get to eating local weed, then you can't do nothing with him. Local weed will kill a horse. So as the pastor, and I'm watching over the flock, I got to keep the local weed out. It might start with sports. Huh? It might be a lot of other things in your life that's local weed. And I got to keep it out. You know, when you get born again, it changes your outward appearance. Because when we have the world, we dress like the world, we look like the world. But when we come to Christ, we don't look like the world no more. Y'all know holiness is still right? Amen. Man, come on now. Y'all grew up on holiness. Y'all, we knew Pentecostal people when we saw them. We knew them. Some of us grew up Pentecostal. And when they start letting the world come into the Pentecostal church, they start looking just like the Baptists and everybody else. And now the Pentecostal church ain't what it used to be. The power ain't there no more. They're used to fear God walking into a Pentecostal church. If you had sin in your life, you didn't go in there like that. You repented before you hit the door. Now people just bring sin right on into the church. Don't even care nothing about it. Can I just, are y'all going to let me talk this morning? Folk drink in front of a preacher. Every time you're hot. You're hot. No. I mean, you see people walking and you know they have a little something and they put it in a bag and they hide it. They got it. And you already know what they're doing. But they're trying to hide it. And they certainly wouldn't drink it in front of you. But now, what's up, preach? Church, we need a new birth. And ain't nobody saying this, so I might as well be the first one to say it, right? Because ain't nobody going to say nothing about it. Right? I mean, how we expect to go to heaven living like that? It ain't going to happen. And saints that can just fellowship around stuff like that all the time, something wrong with your spirit. That ought to bother you. I know my spirit just get upset. I said, no, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I don't do so much of it, then I'm out. Because my spirit just can't handle it. Amen. Some of us just look forward to it. Something wrong. We need to be born again. Local weed. Let me tell you a little bit about local weed. Because if you start eating local weed, it'll kill you. A horse get a hold of some local weed, it'll do some damage. They say local weed is toxic for two reasons. The first is that it has a toxic compound called swainsonine. That is an alkaloid, and this alkaloid causes swelling of components of the nervous system after it accumulates in the body for a time. It must be consumed for a period of at least 2 weeks before it causes a reaction. The second reason the reason that local weed can be poisonous is because some species are selenium accumulators. Horses can tolerate very little selenium above the recommended intakes, and accumulator plants often have levels drastically beyond the safe level. Now, I might not know too much about that, but Brother Josue know everything that I just said because he worked with horses, right? Now, listen, some of the symptoms of a horse that he done ate local weed, you might not even know he ate it. You might not have no idea, but he'll start showing symptoms of it. Notice now, it took 2 weeks before the thing started manifesting itself. Hallelujah. One of the things that happens with the horses, if you see excessive salivation, he done got a hold of some loco weed. This one was kind of strange to me. If you see the horse aimlessly wandering, just staring, what you looking at? That's what happened when y'all look at TV. You can't even get people attention. Oh. You done got a hold of some local weed. You need deliverance. You need to be born again. You see that? And I'm telling you, the devil get you. And don't get me wrong, everything on TV ain't bad. Everything, but some of it, most of it, 98% of it. 98% of it is bad. Even the news is bad. But here we just sit on feed on that all day long. You ain't read no Bible, you ain't done nothing. Just, you got to change your diet. And the only way you can change your diet is that you got to be born again. Aimlessly wandering, uncoordination and altered gaits, chronic weight loss. Another thing, symptom is if the horse got vision problems. Lord, some of us had some local weed. I guess it's lethargy followed by extreme outbursts in response to mild stimuli. You know, these are things that happen. So we try to keep the local weed out, you know, of the body of Christ as well, because we don't want to see all this. I mean, your outburst, where you get that from? I mean, if I wasn't a Christian, well, what were you going to do? I mean, really, what were you going to do if you weren't a Christian? See, church, that's not how Christians even supposed to talk. It showed that we done lost something along the way. We need a new birth. Listen, our nature is sinful to begin with. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came into the world speaking lies. If you got your father's nature, you'll do the things your father did. But when you're born again, your nature changes. Let me just read something here about this family. They had a trait in this family. And what made them different was that they were born again. You know, there are certain things. I mean, if you're, you know, certain things happen in a family. Like I say, people start tending to start going down those paths. If you had a loose lady in the family, praise the Lord, she was always in some man's face, always had a bunch of men in and out of the house. That girl that grew up in that household, if she's not born again, she's going to end up just like that loose lady. If you had a boy watching his daddy play on every lady that he could, that boy gonna grow up with the same spirit on him. Yeah. Y'all know it's the truth. The only thing stops that, and see, because we might, this is a generational curse. No, if you born again, that curse will be broken. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You can break the curse. Just get born again. Yeah. And let me tell you something. When you truly born again, like I say, that dove has something on the inside that manifests on the outside. When you truly born again, all that stuff that you're fighting with, it'll go away by itself. Because your nature changes. Your desires change. Oh, God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read about this little boy here. Stay with me on this one. Let me just find it. Glory to God. You got to be born again. Amen. Lord Jesus. When Brother Branham was talking about this birth, he said, now, when he was born again, there were certain things that his conversion never took out of him. And one of those things was he still liked to hunt. Right? So when I thought about it, I'm going to the message of paradox. When I thought about that, see, hunting is sport. Right? He enjoyed hunting. The conversion doesn't take that out of you. However, the conversion does help you to manage it. I like sports, but my conversion helps me manage that. Right? Because if I'm not, then I'll just end up just You know, you talk about fathers becoming couch potatoes and stuff like that. I mean, if Saturday comes, you can't get that man to do nothing. He just stuck there at the TV and can't wait for that season. But when you're born again, church become more important. If we got church, I'm going to church. No. Church first. God always first. People know when you're born again. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Amen. All right. But see, your conversion, what the conversion is, it's the Holy Spirit that moves the old nature out of you and puts the new nature in you. Right? The Holy Spirit takes that old nature, the things of the world. You know, if you love the things of the world and the love of God is not in you, y'all know that. That's the Bible. If you are in love with the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going on a little further. Yeah, the Holy Ghost is going to make you live holy. Yes, it will. We might as well be truthful and honest about it. The Holy Ghost will make you live holy. It'll make you dress holy, act holy, talk holy. Yes, it will. Amen. I mean, when many of you young ladies in here, y'all receive the Holy Ghost caused you to change the way you dressed. Amen. You put on your dress and your skirt and you took off your pants. That's what the Holy Ghost did to you. Amen. The Holy Ghost told you to take off your makeup. You took that off. You took off your earrings. The Holy Ghost did that. No man made you do that. Y'all know that ain't nothing but the truth. Because without the Holy Ghost, you desire to do those things. Amen. Amen. Holy Ghost should make a young man come out them tight clothes. Hello, somebody. I mean, Holy Ghost don't have you out here dressing like that. And just because you got yourself a little body, you got to put yourself on something real tight to make sure everybody can see your cut. No, the Holy Ghost don't do that. Hello, somebody. Amen. Your pants too tight? No, the Holy Ghost don't make you do that, brother. You know, they had a preacher that he was so cut, so tight, he stand in the pulpit with certain clothes on to make sure the cameras can get every angle. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. Y'all know that's the truth. Ain't nothing wrong with you looking right, but look at the Bible say bodily exercise profiteth little. Ain't nothing wrong with you being, you know, I'm not telling you don't exercise. But if you exercise just to try to make you look better in front of people, something wrong with that. Something wrong with it. Amen. Take care of your health. I understand that, but not the way that you're doing it. The Holy Ghost do make you dress different. So some of us don't. Yeah, okay. The Lord done delivered us from makeup, but you know, then we put it on our toes. It's the same thing, y'all. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit, right? Well, can't nobody see my feet. God see them. Amen. It's the same spirit. Praise the Lord, somebody. I got men out there putting this stuff on their toes and on their hands. And what is this? This is a devil. And people need to be born again. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. I know I don't preach like this all the time, but I might as well tell it today. I'm going to preach the same thing Jesus preached. You must be born again. Right? God see it all. Amen. And see, the reason that you do that is because that's nature. Nature is, it's nature for a lady to want to look good. And there's nothing wrong with nature wanting to praise the Lord. Every husband wants his wife looking good. But look good according to the word of God. Amen. It's got to be according to the word of God. If it's against the word of God, no, we can't go with that. We can't do it. And even as a pastor, I wouldn't want everybody to look, you know, broke down, toe up, messed. No, look good. Look good. I want you to look good. But look holy in the process. See, it's a four-letter word. It's a four-letter word, holy. End with a Y. But now the rest of us got another four-letter word that end with a Y that we focus on. Sexy. You choose which four-letter word you're going to be. Sexy or holy. Which one you think God is doing. Hallelujah. Now you got to be careful. You know, everything you wear, is that going to make me look more sexy or make me look more holy? You trying to pull somebody at the church? Not just at the church, wherever you go. Don't, you know, look, you ain't got to go try to pull nobody. God will send them to you when he's ready for you to have them. Y'all just let me talk today. Amen. 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 You got to be born again. Glory to God. Get washed all over again. You know, when Jesus said that he that's born of the water and of the Spirit, when a child is born of the water, you know the first thing they do with that child? Before they give it to the mama? Wash it. When the baby is born, they go wash it and they bring it back to the mama. Same thing in the Spirit. When you washing it, when you get born of the Spirit, you're going to be washed by the Spirit. Then you'll be presented. I want to talk about this. Just give me a few more minutes. I'm going to talk about this this thing that this boy was born with. But the Holy Ghost is what changes that. I'm in the Message Paradox. So now this young fellow's parents, his mother's German. No reflection on the German. But there is a strain in that family. And that is, they'll just sit and you can talk to them and they'll just stare you right in the face. That's the strain in that family. Now, I'm reading about this family, but every family got strains. And you can start just looking back in family. You know, all of us do this, all of us did that. It's strains that's in that family. All right, listen. It says, but there's a strain in the family, and that is, they'll just sit and you can talk to them and they'll just stare you right in the face. This girl's sister, the mother of this boy, her sister, I've come down the street many mornings. This young lady be sitting out in the yard, and I say, good morning to you. She just look at me. And I stop and I say, sure, fine morning. She would just stand, look right at you, an intelligent woman. And I say, come up to see us sometime. She just stand and look. Well, her brothers are that way, father and mother is that way. Now, the father of the boys is strictly an Irishman, moody and high-tempered. You know, sometimes your conversion do take some of those things away from you. Sometimes you're still left with some of that. There's some people, boy, they're going to win an argument. They was that way before they came to Christ, and they're still that way. Now, and I'm going to tell you, sometimes that's needed. God can use that characteristic sometime. But you got to know when God using it. All right, I'm going on. It says, the father of that boy is strictly an Irishman and moody and high-tempered, high-strung. That's his whole family like that, except one other out of the family converted now. And this boy, this father and mother, both are Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost. And they have brought this young man up in the way of the Lord. And now the young man is about 17 or 18 years old, something along there. Very fine kid. He's been a real model boy at home, nice kid. He's got a brother that's just vice versa. But the girls... the mother family lives close to a fine church, but do you think they'd ever come over there? No. And they know it's right, but it's just not in them to ask forgiveness or ask pardoning. I want y'all to catch that. Because there's some people, they'll say, the reason I don't go to that church is because y'all talk about a prophet. I can show you in the Bible where God said he was sending a prophet. I'll show you that right in your own Bible. The reason that you don't come is because what it's going to require you to live. That's why, let's be honest. I know what it's going to require me to live, and I don't want to live that way. Okay, fine. I respect that. But, you know, praise the Lord. After you done heard the truth and you die in that condition, don't expect nobody to put you in heaven. You rejected the word, and you know what comes from rejecting the word. Praise the Lord. Amen, church. I'm just, I got to be honest with people. What good would it be for me to be up here just trying to take money? I mean, I thank God that people pay their tithes and offering. That supports this church. That helps my family eat. I appreciate that. But if I do all that and let y'all go to hell, what kind of preacher would I be? I got to stop and tell the truth. You got to be born again. And this message goes to your family too. Let your family know you got to be born again. That's what will stop the sin. A birth. Praise the Lord. You can't beat this out of nobody. Amen. You can't spank it out of a child. They need a new birth. You're going to have to pray for them. That God will give them a Holy Ghost birth. All right. I'm going on. It says, you think they'll come over there? No. And they know it's right, but it's just not in them to ask forgiveness or ask pardon. They just won't do it. It's just not in them. Now, the genes in the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remains the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him, just like from his mother's family, and they are not forgiven. So this boy is carrying something. Even though he go to church, he's still carrying the same thing right into, you know, the church. Now look, say they're not forgiven. They will not apologize. And that's where that boy stands. Now, I can identify with that because I grew up with that same type of spirit. I couldn't apologize for nothing. I could be wrong as wrong could be, proven wrong, but I still wouldn't apologize. My mama would have to twist my ear to get me to go to apologize. But when the Holy Ghost came in, that's when, no, you're wrong about that one. Go back and apologize on that. Now I can do it. But it's the new birth that causes me to be able to do that. Before that, I couldn't do it. All right. Listen, he says this. I said to the father, no matter how much you raised him up, I said, now look at you out of your family. Out of your family, all of them drunks and fighting and shooting and cutting and so forth. Now look at your family. To the mother, they're a bunch of people. They just sat there and won't speak. Now he got to be honest with these people and tell them this is what your family is. Can you imagine that? What if I'm sitting down with your family like this? And everybody got family like that. Come on, y'all. Stop it. You know, it's some families that easily get offended. Easily. That's just a strain in the family. It ain't not, that's just who they are. And others, another family, they speak rough to one another. Oh, come on, y'all. They speak rough, and when they come to church, they speak rough to people. I'm trying to get you to see if you can understand these things, then you don't get so offended so easily. Right? People got strains in them that the Holy Ghost don't take out of them. Sometimes you need people like that. Oh my God. And I just bear with me just for a few more minutes. I've seen there are certain people come to church and they got a certain spirit. And then I see another person that got an opposite spirit. And I see them two connect. They help each other out. Amen. And there's sometimes, as a pastor, I don't even have to get in the middle of it. Because I know these two right here, they're going to sharpen each other. You know God do that? Amen. He let opposites attract. Amen. That's to bring out better parts in you. Yeah. Right? Oh, my God. So sometimes it's good that a person got that as long as they're doing it in the right way. Oh, my. But everybody, you know, some easily offended. Others, man, they don't care about who they offend. And you need people like that because, you know, you need mothers in the church that will come to you saying, now, sister, the way you dress, and that's just not, that's not of God. And, you know, just please, you know, you need to change that. You need a mother in the church like that. You also need one to say, now, what you in here dressing like that for? Need that one too, because you've been the one that talked to you sweet and soft. You overlooked that. Now you need one to get in your face, pull your face mask. Praise the Lord, somebody. God give you both of them, and put them in your life for a reason. Get that off your feet. Get that off your fingers. You need one like that too. I could. When I say some of y'all got in y'all mind, which sisters in the church that'll tell you something like that?
They come from that family with that strain. Thank God that we got them here. The conversion don't take everything out of you. God uses some of that for his glory. You know why? Because there's people that would just run over you. But then you got some that stand up and say, no, you can't do that here. And they'll be the first one to let you know. Thank God for that. Thank God for it. Let's go on. I'm going on. Hallelujah. Now, that don't give you a right to just do people any kind of way you want to do them. There ain't no license for that. You need to be born again. But I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm bringing a balance with this. Amen. I want to read this, and I want to read a scripture, and I'm going to let y'all go. Y'all probably say, Lord, this preacher long-winded. I told y'all this ain't no fast food church here, boy. This ain't fast food. We sit down and we enjoy our meal. Amen. That's why church the way it is, because ain't nobody taking no time to really deal with things. Amen. Listen. Says now look at your family to the mother. They're a bunch of people just sat there and won't speak, very independent, so forth, irreverent to religion. But I said, it's not you. You're the only one of all your sisters and brothers, and you are sweet, kind, and forgiving. What does that? You're a tree, part of the family tree, yet you have received the Holy Ghost. That's the thing that made you tender and sweet. It's not your people anymore. It's your Christ that lives in you. See, she was born again. I said to the boy, look at your family. Practically all of them are drunks and so forth. I said, and how moody and high-tempered and high-strung, but you're not. You're kind, forgiving. What is it? The Holy Spirit. You're no more what you are. It's Christ in you. I said, now that's the same thing has to happen to your son. Your son got to be born again. It goes on. He says, and the father raised up and said, my son went to the altar. Like that did it. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ and water baptism in the pool. Said, I know my son has come to Christ. The prophet said, I said, that may be all right, all the outward motions. He might be identified as a believer with the believers. But until he is regenerated, born again, I'll advise that young man never to marry a woman. Look at what he said. He'll make hell on earth for her. You better watch what you get yourself involved with. You better make sure that they've been born again, because they'll make hell on earth for you. He'll make hell on earth for her. Until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in, then that will be a paradox in itself, to take the very nature of a boy that's bred between father and mother, and yet in his intellectual, he's trying his best to overcome it. He can't do it. He'll never overcome it. Christ will have to overcome it. When he lets Christ in, then he's already overcome. Then it'll be a perfect paradox when a man is born of the Spirit of God. I just want to read this last scripture, and I'm going to let you go. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. See, again, if you love the world and the things of the world, then the love of God is not in you. We're always constantly battling with old nature, and you all heard the story of the black dog and the white dog. The Indian chief was saying, I'm always battling with this black dog and white dog. He say, how you getting along? Say, I'm getting along all right, but that black dog and white dog always battling. Say, I got one on one shoulder speaking one thing, another on the other shoulder speaking something else. And he says, well, which one win? He says, the one I feed the most. So if you want the white dog to win, you're going to have to feed him. Feed him the word of God. Amen. Your conversion doesn't take certain desires from you. The prophets still like to hunt. You may still enjoy sports, but your conversion helps you keep those things under control. Right? So, and Brother Branham would not just hunt to kill. Right? He didn't do that. Now, if a lion got amongst some sheep or something like that, then he might be hired to do that. But he wouldn't just go hunting just to kill animals. That's not what it was. And I want to just share this when I talk about, you know, his conversion changed things. I want to bring something about lion hunting into this scripture, and then I'll close it off. Galatians 5 verse 16. when we're born again, it changes our nature. It changes our nature. And the Bible says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." See, that's that white dog and that black dog constantly fighting. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Listen, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." And we want to know when we operating in the flesh, these are the things that are going to manifest. Which are these? Adultery. Right? That'll be, when you're walking after the flesh, adultery comes with it. Right? Fornication. Young people having sex and not being married. Praise the Lord. Uncleanness. Praise the Lord. And I want to break some of these words down as we get to them. Just bear with me just for a few minutes. Uncleanness is immoral living. Right? Uncleanness. It says lasciviousness. That's just unbridled lust. You got to get control over lust. Amen. But these are works of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Idolatry. And we got all kind of things that we put before God. We put our jobs before God. You prayed for the job. Now he gave you the job. But you let your job become your God. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Now, you know what? I had to stop on that one. Because I got a definition on that one that I don't think most of us even know. You know what? I just clicked on that word, witchcraft. And, you know, it talked about sorcery and magical arts often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. Deceptions and seductions of idolatry. But it also had a second definition. It says the use or the administering of drugs. Witchcraft. The use of drugs. You got the over, when you're born again, you don't have that desire anymore. You don't have a desire to practice witchcraft, to do drugs. Hatred, variance. Well, what is variance? Variance is strife, debate. That's why I said earlier that we got to watch the spirit of debate. Variance, right? Emulations, there's the big one right there. Big word. But that's competitiveness. And when you get involved with sports, it brings that spirit right back out of you. It does. You hate to lose. Now they had it. I remember, you know, the events that I used to see, man, I want to call it karate, whatever, the taekwondo. They go out there and they have taekwondo and everybody wins. Now look out there, you know, and my nephew Caleb was good. Caleb was good. He was beating people. And I get out there, he done put somebody down the mat and they raise him up. You're the winner. No, they got beat. They not the winner. And when you go around telling everybody they win all the time in life and that they never lose, then they can't handle life. But the other thing happened when you get into that, them emulations. Emulations, boy, that's why you got to see the conversions, what keep that thing under check. Uh-huh. Next thing you know, you're just doing all kind of stuff. You'll cheat to win. Right. Yeah. I want to give an example here, you know, before I go further. I promise you, I'm leaving. I'm leaving in a second. I'm leaving in a second. But one time, Brother Branham was out hunting. And while he was hunting, they had they were going to give out this award to the person that got the largest lion. And this man went out and shot a lion about 9'4". And he was so happy he shot this lion. And Brother Branham had shot a lion. His lion was 9'8". And he just, you know, he knew he had a nice trophy, but he didn't say nothing. So when they got back to the camp and they started announcing, you know, how big the lions was, this one man, he was just, "Oh yeah, I got the biggest one. 9'4". I got 9'4". I know I got the big one. I'm taking home this trophy." Well, one of Brother Branham's companions said, no. He's Brother Branham said, "Nope, don't say nothing." "What you mean, don't say?" So he said, "Brother Branham, you got the largest one." "No, don't say nothing. That means so much to him. Let him have it. I know and God know, but you let him have it." that take a death. Because we always want to be first place. At one time in our family reunion, we had these little things that we was doing. We was giving out money, you know, talent show. And we had this little talent show going, and this one guy come out. I forget what he did. I think it was a praise dance. It wasn't. It just wasn't. And somehow Caleb come out and just did a flip some kind of way forward and backward and something with this taekwondo move. Then he started playing the saxophone after he done flipped. And when he played whatever song he played, the anointing came down in the place. When our auntie, she's about ready to prophesy. Spirit of God just moving like crazy. And somehow, you know, we knew Caleb at one. But before, you know, we called out the prizes, I said, Caleb, let him win. Let him win. That boy really wanted that. You let him win. Don't worry about it. And it did two things. It humbles Caleb down. Because all that stuff he just did, now we're going to bring it back down. It humbles you down because you got to watch the spirit of emulations. Sports produces that spirit. Sports will do it to you. When you're born again, it helps create a new nature. Let's keep going. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. That's division and dissension. Heresies. Envyings. Murders. Now, let me tell you something about murder. You don't have to necessarily take a gun and shoot somebody or take a knife and kill somebody. But when you're talking about somebody, that's like taking a knife and stabbing in the back and you just murdered them. You murdered their character. But the Holy Spirit, a new birth, helps you control that. Oh, you just can't just be saying whatever you want to say out of your mouth. You need to get control over that. Drunkenness. Oh, I got scripture. You're not supposed to be drinking. I got quotes up here too. People are not supposed to be drinking. Brother Branham say drinking is a sin. First thing I done heard people say, Jesus turned the water into wine, but he didn't drink it. Show me where he drunk it. And then one fella told me, said, but they did call him a wine bibbler. Okay. You telling me the devil called Jesus a wine bibbler? And you're going to take that and use it to be a drink so you can drink? They also call Jesus Beelzebub. What do you believe about him? Drunkenness, revelings. Let me just tell you what revelings mean. Now, we just reading this, but I want to give you meanings. A revel is a carousal, a nocturnal and riotous procession of half-drunken, frolicsome fellows, half drunken. Now, I don't know. Is it okay to be half drunken or full drunken? No, drinking is a sin. Half drunken and frolicsome fellows who after supper, because everybody want to get their little sip of wine after supper. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't have these desires anymore. Praise the Lord, somebody. The wine bottles leave. Amen, somebody. You got to be born again. Right? Say after supper would parade through the streets with torches and music in honor of Bacchus. That's a false god, idol god. In honor of Bacchus or some other deity and sing and play before houses of male and female friends. Hence used generally of feasts and drinking parties that are protracted till late at night and indulge in revelry. Sure, they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing, something that God ain't pleased with. So God wants us to avoid revelness, revelings, right? And such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do, look at this, the Bible say this, they which do such things shall not. Brother Jack, can I go to heaven? It's not me putting you there or not. The Bible say whether you go there. And the Bible say you shall not. You are not going like that. Hello, somebody. Now, I'm just preaching the raw gospel. I'm going to preach it raw. This, I mean, you know, people want it raw nowadays. But I got to give you the raw gospel. I got to tell you just like it is. I might only get one chance to preach to you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take advantage of this chance. Because when you get to heaven, and God going to say, you heard the truth. I had my servant there, and he preached it to you. He going to replay this whole service. All right. It says, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit. So when you're born of the Spirit, when you're born of the flesh, you'll do those things. But when you're born of the Spirit, it changes. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What? You can't talk about people and love them at the same time. The fruit of, and I'm talking about believers. This is what believers are supposed to be producing. And if you ain't producing this, it's time to be born again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You ain't stirring up strife. You actually trying to find a way to get peace to it. Oh, Lord. Y'all know that ain't nothing but the truth. Some of the things, you know. I'm going to close this up. But, you know, the Bible actually say that where there is no wood, the fire ceaseth. Which means the fire stops if there is no wood. What that mean? The things that you say, either add wood to it or take wood from the fire. A soft answer turns away wrath. Not a hard, oh, can't talk to me that way. Oh, who you? They talk to Jesus any kind of way. And they even spit on him. I wonder how many of us can handle that. You know you can't handle it. You need to be born again. That's You need to be born again. Ain't nothing wrong being honest, but that's why God said you got to be born again. Because if you can't take the heat, get out the kitchen. Right? But God requires a life. I remember had my best pants on. I'm walking down the street. I'm just hanging out with the young people. Somebody come down the street and just throwing out rotten eggs and just hit me with one. Messed up my pants. I'm ready to, let's go find them. Find them for what? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Ain't nobody got no complaints about people operating like this. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Church, don't let that be your testimony. When Christ say we got to be born again, these are the things that he's expecting to come forth from our lives. And you can't produce that without the Spirit of God on the inside of you. If you know that, Lord, I ain't where I need to be, that's where you need to start praying. God, get me where I'm supposed to be. Because this word ain't changing for nobody. Everybody from the pulpit to the back door, ye must. Absolutely. If you want to inherit, you want to get to heaven, you must be born again. Let's just bow our heads, and musicians, you all make your way. I want to have a word of prayer. And born again is going beyond just the confession that you make in church, and
We've done that time and time again. But now it's time to get down to business with God. And if you just know your life is just not where it needs to be, and like, Lord, I know you're speaking directly to me, then I pray today will be a day where you begin to make a difference. The Bible tells you to lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets you. That means there's things that you're going to have to give up. God ain't going to take it from you. You're going to have to give it up. Every sister in here that gave up a pants, she did that on her own. Every sister in here that gave up her makeup, she did that on her own. Gave up her earrings, she did that on her own. Gave up her toenail polish and fingernail polish, she did that on her own. Every sister that's done it on her own. Every brother that decided, I'm coming out of these clothing that's not right. Dressing in inappropriate ways, even shorts. I'm coming out of that. I'm going to put on my long pants. I'm going to look holy. Walking around in muscle shirts, I'm not going to do that. Tight jeans and things. No, I'm not doing that to bring attention to my body. But I want to bring glory and honor to my God. Every person that did that has done that on their own. Everybody here has to make their own personal decision as to how they're going to serve God. But I tell you what, I can show you in Scripture what it requires of you. If your heart is right with God, then you'll submit yourself to His Word. And the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not grievous. They're not hard. They're not difficult. And we don't do it because God told us we had to do it. We do it because we love Him. Pray that you just, if God has pricked your heart today, I pray that you just get down to business with Him. Don't play games with God. If you're going to serve Him, go all the way with Him. But don't go halfway. Because He didn't go halfway to the cross. He went all the way. Father, I pray that as the Word of God has been preached to our hearts here today, that we, Lord Jesus, would come to a place of complete surrender. God, life is too short. Things happen so fast, and we don't have time to play games with it. We got to be real. The Bible says what the Bible says. We can't change it. It was here before any of us were here. You wrote these things. Told us that we want to inherit the kingdom of God if we're operating in certain areas. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's plain and simple. But the only way our lives can be changed is that if we are truly born again. The nature on the inside has to change. God, we're praying that you would do exactly what you said. You said you'd give us a new heart according to the book of Ezekiel. You said, I'll give you a new heart, I'll give you a new spirit, and then I'll put my spirit in the midst of that. So God, let that process take place. There's not a person in here that raised their hands and say that they wanted to go to hell. Not one. Nobody's looking forward to that. God, we come here because we want to be right. So thank you for a word that you would give us today that would speak truth into our lives. The first doctrine that Jesus spoke, you must be born again. Every area of our life where we're backsliding and we're going back to things, God, that you delivered us from, we're going back into it. God, deal with us and don't let us, Father, be at rest until we begin to bring those things back under control of the Holy Ghost. Please, Lord, we don't want to come this far and miss it. It's not about us just coming to church and giving our money and supporting with our presence. It's about getting right with God. And that's what we want. We want to be right. So I pray, God, that there is one that has heard the word today. May the word do only what the word can do. It says, many has believed on me. Of them I gave power to become sons, daughters of God. So I pray that people would believe on you, the word that you have spoke. May they accept it and may they walk in it. I ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but but alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We got to die to ourselves, die to those things that are keeping us from serving God the way that we're supposed to serve Him. The words of Jesus do not change. Marvel not, say unto you, you must be born again. Brother Solomon, would you come and just close us out with a song or so and say, God bless you, church. Thank you so much for hearing the word of the Lord today. And I pray that the word will have its preeminence in your life. God bless you.
I stand to your feet, help me sing.
Rain down. Say rain down. Let your power fall. As I stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down one more time. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, say rain, rain down. Oh, Comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change. As I stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that we need more of you, Lord. Father, forgive us all, Lord, of our sins, our shortcomings. Forgive me this morning, Lord, for allowing, Lord, my mind to be distracted, Lord, my heart to be heavy over things that I can't control. And I just pray, Lord God, for your children, Lord, that each one receive what you had to say to us this morning, Lord, and recognize the need to be born again. Let there not be one, Lord God, who leaves this place, Lord, not being filled with your Spirit. Father, we don't know how much time we have upon the earth, Lord God. Our number could be called as soon as we walk out of the door. But Father, we want to be ready. We want to inherit the kingdom of God. We want you living inside of us. So I ask, oh God, that you pour out your Spirit upon your people, Lord God. Lord, water the seed, Lord, that was planted. Lord, grant the new birth to be delivered to each one of us, Lord. And we who have the Holy Ghost, oh God, we ask for a refilling, Lord. Lord, not just one more time, but Lord, daily, Lord, we need more of you. Help us, oh God. We need you. I pray, oh God, that as we leave this place, but not your presence, Lord, that you'll minister to the needs of your people. May we meditate on the truth that we heard this morning. Bless our pastor. Bless your children. We ask all these things in the precious and lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Saints, you may have your seats. And our brethren will come dismiss you in the name of the Lord. God bless you.